What's up? You are now listening to Americanized, a storytelling podcast where you'll hear from eclectic first and second generation Americans share their stories and real life experiences as children of immigrants.
This is your host, Roslyn, and today I just wanted to share a story time story about a dinner that I had that really put into perspective my identity and where I stand in this kin of being a first-generation American who married someone outside of my race and ethnic background, and just really having that come to light in this moment. So let me just set the stage with some background information. I am a Christian and I do celebrate Easter, or as we like to call it, Resurrection Sunday. I love Jesus, I love God, and I love to celebrate Easter. It's probably one of my favorite holidays. Growing up, my favorite holiday was Thanksgiving because of the food. And then I was never like, Christmas is my favorite holiday. I just really liked Easter because of the story behind it and the warm weather and springtime. It's just a really exciting, you know, rebirth, resurrection, and all of that stuff. I love the season and I love Easter. And my husband Parker is also a Christian. That's one of the main reasons why or how we connected, having our values and morals aligned and just being in the same headspace when it comes to religion and beliefs and faith. So both of our immediate families are Christian, and a lot of my extended family are Christian as well. So we all celebrate Easter, and dating him and marrying him and finding out how big Easter is for his family was really interesting to me. It actually reminded me of one of my old co-workers who also came from a very big family, big Catholic European family, who would celebrate these holidays, and it was like a big feast for each holiday, and each holiday was like assigned to a family member where they would all gather at this family member's house for Christmas, and this family's house for Easter, and another family's house for New Year's or Thanksgiving. And that's something that is completely normal, especially in our culture. However, for me and for my family, that just was not a thing, because the families that we gathered with were just the immediate people in my family. If I did have or do have extended family in America, they're like down south or just in a different state where it's not super feasible, or according to, you know, whoever, it's not feasible for us to gather and meet and celebrate holidays together. Which is really strange, because I feel like it's so easy for me to get a ticket and fly somewhere to do something, but for a long time we weren't able to celebrate holidays together and enjoy each other's company in that way. So I've always celebrated these big and meaningful holidays, I want to say, just with my immediate family, my mom. My dad would usually be at work, so it would be my mom and my siblings, and we would have a smaller gathering, a smaller dinner. It would still be a feast because my mom can really cook, and she cooks a lot because she has a lot of mouths to feed, but it was just smaller. It's a smaller scale than I would imagine my coworkers' family gatherings to be like, or even participating in my husband's family gatherings, because for him, it's all of his uncles, his aunt, his cousins are there, and it's really beautiful. I love to see it, and I get to share in that, but not really have that experience with my own family, solely because a lot of my aunts and uncles and cousins are back home in West Africa and not here. So it would be a completely different story if we were celebrating holidays back home. So that is some context behind this story time, some background information. So this past Sunday is the Sunday before Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Ever so often, I do share meals with my in-laws. We'll go over to their house, and his mother will cook. His mother can cook too, just as much as my mother can cook. And we'll just share a meal and talk and everything, and we have a really strong relationship. His family and my family do. And so I love passing time at their house, and especially over a meal, because she cooks really well. Her food is really good. So I enjoyed that. And so we're talking throughout dinner. And then we have like an intermission between dinner and dessert, which is something that I noticed that my family dinners don't usually do. We either go straight to dessert or we don't have dessert because I guess like I noticed traditionally we don't really have dessert in our cuisine. So it's either like ice cream right after or no dessert. I think typically we just don't have dessert. So while we're like digesting our food before we have dessert, we're talking, and then Easter comes up and Easter dinner and the plans of who is going to get what pastries from where and how and who's gonna cook this meal or this dish and how's it gonna get done and what's gonna go in it and what's the recipe and all of that stuff. And in my head, I'm like laughing at this interaction because it's only between Parker and his mom. And she is the one who was Italian with Italian roots. And so they're going back and forth discussing this. And then it's also his dad at the table and myself. And we are the outliers here who can't really have any input or share our thoughts or our opinions on the matter, just because it's like, it's not our thing. We kind of don't have a say in this. We participate in it happily. We enjoy it all. The food, the interactions, and the celebration and everything. But as far as how it goes down, we're more hands-off. So they're going back and forth talking, and it's like we're not even there, and that's the funny part. And they're just, like, looking straight at each other, and I'm like, this is a moment right here. And I look over at his dad, and we're just looking at them talking, going back and forth. But his dad and I are, like, not involved at all in this process. And there was a lot of beauty in that because I got to see how connected Parker is to his culture and, you know, the food language that he and his mother both spoke and how they just kind of got each other, and I saw a lot of similarities in them, and I always do. But this moment was like, they're just trying to figure out their holiday tradition, and this is something that they will continue and will be passed down, and I will eventually have to figure out how to be involved in it rather than being a passive participant or active participant, but not active in the planning piece. Another thing that I was admiring during dinner, and that I always do but never thought to share it really, is that passing down of not only traditions but like physical items. Like in their house, they still have a lot of things from grandparents. I'm not too sure about great grandparents, but even grandparents, having something from your grandparent is something that I don't have, or my parents don't have things from their parents that have passed. I'm talking more on my dad's side, because his parents have passed for, it's been a while now, and I'm not sure what physical things he has that were like passed down to him. Something sentimental and meaningful and vintage or old. I'm curious what my parents have of their parents. But things like that, it's always interesting because obviously every family is different, every family celebrates different holidays differently, or religious holidays, or their family gatherings look different. And so just seeing the dynamic among this family and comparing it to mine is always eye-opening in the best way and beautiful. Another funny connection is thinking how physically different my father-in-law is to me, but in that moment, we were riding the same boat, being outsiders and marrying into this Italian culture and family, and taking part in all these huge family feast gatherings. I like to call them feasts because that's essentially what it is in my eyes. Following a recipe from his grandmother, I think is amazing. I feel like the fact that she wrote things down, for one, the fact that they still have it and can follow it or follow pieces of it and make it their own is absolutely amazing. It was very much a wow moment for me, just sitting there and soaking it all in, because what 2 cents can I really offer in this moment? I just happily let it be and thought, I want to talk about this on Americanized because, I don't know, there's something about this moment. So, here I am. Some of the food items they mentioned were a wheat pie, which is delicious, one of my favorites. Different pastries, including an Easter bread, which I never had or heard of until Parker gave me some to try, and it's bread with boiled eggs in there, and it's really good. I like it because the bread also has icing. It's really delicious, although the eggs are hard-boiled with the shell on, so if you ever get a chance to eat it, make sure you remove the shell. And wheat pie is delicious, as I mentioned. And then there is this dish that they've been making for years, and it's a family tradition that was passed down. And I see, you know, different family members will make it and then bring it to the feast. And I'm gonna butcher the name, but the way I'm hearing it sounds like pizzogeno. And it's a mixture of, it's like this pie, this huge pie, eggs, meat, and cheese with a beautiful crust. It's delicious. Parker knows how to make it, and that is something that he will be passing down to our future generations, and it won't be me. One thing that I love most about being a part of this family and this culture is the culture and the connectedness and the determination to keep traditions and to pass them down, especially through food, through family gatherings, through celebrations, holidays. And I think that can never die. If you're passionate about your family, if you're family oriented, those are values that will never die and always be around. And that's something that I don't always have the privilege of experiencing or engaging in because of the distance that I have with my extended family. But whenever we do gather, it's like they were there the whole time. You don't even feel the distance. And I think that's something that we both share. Coming up on Americanized, you will hear from a special guest, so do stick around and stay tuned for that. I know I get tired of hearing my voice too sometimes, so we're just gonna switch it up and we'll hear different voices, different stories, different perspectives, different topics. It's a lot to come and I'm really excited. I'm excited for you to hear it, so do stay tuned and I will catch you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Hope to catch you in the next episode. All original music produced by Stubborn Soul. You can find him on all music listening platforms at STBRNSAL.